If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are once again back with Sir Croakington. And we are going to be continuing Proving Ground 6, The Elder Throne. And we're in part two, the scenario called The Beast of the Shrine Isle. Now, we've been building up this beast for quite a while, so let's go and actually meet it. Begin. At the conclusion of the previous part, Sir Croakington, you turn to find Uria rushing up from the south, the tip of her staff still smoking. She reaches your side and points to the north, where Owl is just now limping into view. The two of you rush over to steady the Master Thief, who appears ready to topple over at any moment, but he dismisses your help and tells you that the Tazale following him suddenly disappeared in the same manner as Tamithra. He ignores Uria for a moment and turns to face you. "How would you like the mass sorceress?" he asks. "A wooden mask covering all but her eyes? Remind you of someone, does it?" "Should." "We didn't get to see her sister, but we're all better off for that. Shocking to me they ever left Cardson. They were certainly desperate to get their hands on that book. The very least prevent us from doing so. Is this it?" Oyo produces a small leather-bound book and tosses it to Owl. The last remnants of colour drains from the thief's face as he stares down, mouth agape, the book now resting in his hands. You look at Uria in disbelief, dumbfounded as to how she came to possession of the book. "It's easier to explain than you might think," she says. "We've got more to worry about than that. And now." Nearly in unison, you and Owl both ask Uria for the explanation regarding your possession of the book you came here to Shrine Isle seeking. The spellcaster frowns and shakes her head as if the inquiry is so to annoy her. "Do you think I spent my many days on the shores of Sarngard idly? I had tasks too, great many of them, all ended in success, I might add." Oyo looks from you to Owl in turn and then smiles, as if conceding the subtle humour was meant to accompany some subtle humour was meant to accompany her. So, to accompany her somewhat haughty words. I learned a great many things in the hall of that grim keep, one of which pointed me to this place, he says. When I found out the two of you were headed this way, I came upon my newly acquired mount with all possible haste, as I figured you might run into some unexpected trouble. Which is something else I discovered in the halls of Thane Maxibach's fortress. It looks like she actually did way more actual investigating than I did. I just kind of bumbled around and just somehow just walked into the greater plots. Okay, maybe not bumbled around. I was ingratiating myself with the powers on the Isle, presumably to do the real investigating later, but turns out I'd be to it. I was just set on the Grand Crest. Through her explanation seems to lack a great deal of specific information, and includes what you suspect might be one or two fabrications. She tells you that after being knocked from the back of her chudrock, everything went black. When I came round, which must have been only a few moments later, she says, I found myself lying on the ground, right in front of that rounded building, surrounded by Tuzzle, the apparent mercy of two masked women. There was something eerily familiar about them. They demanding answers to things I knew nothing about. Through interrogation, came to a swift close when one of the snakes found that book in the shrine. Oyo tells you. She sensed the two masked women have run out of use for her, and the things were likely have taken a swift and ugly turn. I had strength enough left to teach the two of them some much-needed humility, and immediately embarked on an inspiring display of elemental magic. Come on, both? Both witches? Oh, come on, that's stretching it. I think you could handle one of them, yeah? For a bit, at least. But both? They flowed almost at once, leaving me to face the Tazal and a pair of those stone and iron giants. Owl folds her arms and stares at the sorceress thoughtfully as she continues her account, telling you that after quickly disposing of the Tazal and the construct, she attempted to prevent the two masked women from escaping. They eluded me, both of them, one upon a winged beast and the other in a column of flame. I was too weak to mount any sort of effective attack against them, she says. As the remaining member of the pair soared off into the sky, I summoned my own chudrock and took into the air in pursuit of her. I knew that she possessed the book, for I still know little of its significance, other than the easily discernible fact of its great importance to them. Oyo tells you, she caught up with the lone masked woman, and a brief but deadly battle ensued high above the ocean, just south of the isle. I nearly again exhausted my reserves when I caught her mount with a lucky blast of flame that sent the poor creature spinning into the sea, she says. She plummeted towards the waves as well, but disappeared before ever striking the water. A fiery column rose up from below to envelop her. I stand the book, asked the owl, eyeing her suspiciously. I suppose you found it falling out of the sky after all of this? Hardly, she remarked coldly. It was in my possession shortly after catching up with her. And that was the very reason she didn't continue her attempt south, and instead whirled about in an ill-fated attempt to send me to my death. Did she summon an air elemental just to blow it her way, perhaps? Could be that. I have more than the elements at my command, and I don't suppose that concerns you. After all, you've now got what you came here for. Oh, or more than the elements, I guess telekinesis? Yeah, that would probably help too. And thank you for it, says the owl, dipping into an exaggerated bow before the staff-wielding firecaster. Oh, you ask Al how he knows the two What he knows are the two masked sorcerers, and he tells you they're servants of the Grand Sentry, the mysterious and powerful figure who has long ruled the city's state of Cardson. They're witches of Cardson, they're called, he says, sneering. They're sisters. And a more detestable pair you're not going to be unlucky enough to find. Tumithalia and Humlia are their names, at least as I know them. Won't be long before those two regroup and come back to get that book. Must move with a great haste. Will the great fire mage join us? Owl's question to Uriel contains just a hint of hopefulness, but she's quick to reply in the negative. I must return to Sarngard, she says. There are things left unfinished there. I can help you get off this place, but how you get to wherever you're going next is going to be up to you. Cardson, is it? Owl nods, and then, without another word, and with a wide-eyed look of someone who's nearly forgotten something of great importance, turns and rushes off towards the circular structure. Seconds later, he disappears into a strange building. Almost at once, you hear a piercing shriek. You and Uriel exchange worried glances, and then glance towards the structure. As you reach the arch through which Owl disappeared only moments ago, the Master Thief steps out of the building with a defeated look slowly spreading across his face. See for yourself, he says, waving you into the structure. Warily, you and Uriel step into the rounded interior of the building and find yourself standing before the shattered remains of a great statue. Looking up from the pile of rubble, you note that the wall directly opposite the arch has obviously been struck by a powerful blast of fire. A large, jagged and charred impression has been left in the heavy stone blocks. It's this mark that seems to be the cause of Owl's sudden and profound consternation. Calling away is the first, he says, throwing up his arms in the direction of the damaged wall as he makes reference to the verse he has often mentioned. The verse will do them little good without the book. Well, I'm afraid the books will do us less good than I'd hoped without the verse. Seems we're destined to cross paths with Tumithalia and Umyalo again. Showing little concern for the presence of Uriel, Owl tells you the three books, one of which you possess, are journals written in code, containing the instructions for creating a powerful anti-magic presence. He tells you that the verse that has been blasted from the wall of the chamber supposedly contains the clues to deciphering the journals. This is also part of it, he says, producing several shards of Raven Bone, which he holds up for you and Uriel to view. The anti-magic presence that these journals and these bits of Raven Bone will allow us to create, or so I've been told, would certainly help us in our struggle to reclaim Cardson, as it would alas deliver us the means by which to break the spell of dark magic longer cast upon the city by the Grand Sentry. Uriel, with her brow furrowed and a hint of a frown in place upon her lips, seems prepared to speak out against Owl's claims about the journals and the Raven Bone, when suddenly her eyes widen as if she's just had a revelation. Those masks, announced Uriel with a start. How could I not have seen it before? Thane Mazabak wears one that is nearly identical to those hiding the faces of that treacherous pair. Surely this is not lost on either of you. Not even for a moment, says Owl. But withhold your judgment of the Thane. All three bear the marks common to a particular calamity from years back. This I've heard, and this I choose to believe. Sinister and steeped in mystery through the masked Thane might seem, I do not doubt that he stands closer to our ranks than those of our enemy. The two are able to pierce together what his purpose on the art is, and has been, We should not concern ourselves with it. We must assume he is combating the long arm of our enemy. And there are those in his court who dutifully kept me apprised. There are those in his court who have dutifully kept me apprised of events. Alright, so it looks like a lot of the enemies that we fought on Sarngard, like that gigantic flaming serpents in the footstep adventure, and some of the assassination attempts upon us, seem to be linked to the Grand Sentry's force rather than Thane Mazabak's forces. Although it is Sarngard Island and everything is plot within plots and schemes within schemes, so you're never really quite sure what's going on there. I'm not prepared to assume anything, says Oyo, seemingly willing to discard much of what Alistair said, until I know more for myself. I'll not treat the good Thane as any sort of ally. Neither see nor heard anything would lead me to believe he stands against any enemy of mine. I do intend to return to the isle to learn more about the foul fate that has befell Thane Pond, a true friend and a real ally. Owl sighs and turns to you. Our road will take us to Karzen, he says. If you stay with me, Sir Grovington, as long as we retain these books, we have a chance to deal the Grand Sentry profound blow and break the hold his dark magic has had on the city all these last 200 years. Owl tells you, the spell broken, the Grand Sentry will not be able to retain control of Karzen, and the true extent of the schemes guided by his hand and the dire oppression of his rule will become known. The trail extending from the gates of his citadel. This trail extending from the gates of his citadel will lead all the way back. All the way back to the swords of Sarngard, he says. Looking to Oyo, then back to you. Oyo casts you a questioning glance. This suggests he doesn't believe, or is unwilling to accept, all that Owl has said. Despite her apparent misgivings, you've no reason to doubt the thief's account. The appearance of the two masked sisters and the Welshman lend unfaltering credibility to his story. You tell Owl that he can continue to count on your companionship. He nods and offers you his thanks. Despite the decision to stay with Owl and travel to Karzen with the Master Thief, Oyo remains determined to return to Sarngard Isle and continue the work that was begun by Thane Pollen several months ago. Won't be long until his absence from Twin Keep is discovered, she says, as the three of you make your way out of the circular building and back into the heart of the ruins. That particular discovery might prove disastrous for all of us. But there's little that can be done about it. I assume you won't be walking all the way to Karzen. I'll tell Julio that how he intends to get to Karzen is his own business. But I would very much be interested in a flight off Shrine Isle. As you reach the edge of the depression in which the ruins the shrine sit, the spellcaster closes her eyes and begins muttering a string of strange sounding words as she prepares to once again summon her Chodwick. Suddenly, her eyes fly open and she stares due south, a horrified expression affixed to her face. You and Al have both already beheld the sight that caused her such alarm. Al takes 3 steps back, and you and Oya quickly follow suit. Stepping through the band of fir trees that rings the perimeter of the summit is a towering grey-skinned troll. Jagged yellow fangs protrude at odd angles from the rough mouth of the horrific beast, whose lower half is cruelly clad in a tattered array of animal pelts. The troll's long, sinewy arms or attached to a hideously scarred torso that is easily 6 feet in breadth. Clutched tightly in the gnarled, claw-tipped fingers of the creature's hand is a stone club. Around his neck hangs a thick length of vine, from which dangle the skulls of four ogres. You suddenly become aware of the fact that the massive troll is pulling something along the ground behind it. You're shocked to discover that it's a heavy piece of hide rope, from which drags the lifeless remains of the very Chodrick Uriel attempted to summon only moments ago. Oh, bugger. The fearsome cave troll, larger than any of you've ever seen or heard tell of, snorts angrily as it catches sight of you, releasing its grip on the rope tied to the Chotori's carcass. The beast of Shrine Isle emits an ear-shattering bellow and charges across the broken ground towards you. You glance to your right and note that Uriel is holding her ground, a staff hold at the ready. A quick look to your left reveals the owl is no longer anywhere to be found. He'll turn up. He always does. As the massive troll closes to within 20 yards, his deadly instrument of battle raised in anticipation of killing the two of you with a single blow, you swiftly decide upon a course of action. I have a lot of options here. There's fortification, destruction, necromancy, elementalism, gating, illusion, shadow magic, telekinesis, archery, and I could just hold my ground and prepare to engage the troll, or retreat deeper into the ruins. So let me just count how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 11 options. Once again, I shall be going to random.org to mix it up a bit, so I don't accidentally do something I've done before. And here it comes. All right, number from 1 to 11. 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Archery. All right, looks like it's going to be that. You successfully used your archery skill. 24 experience to archery. With amazing speed and agility, you draw your bow and take aim at the charging cave troll. You release two arrows in rapid succession and watch with satisfaction as both missiles slam into the troll's scarred chest. As blood pours out of the wounds inflicted by your arrows, the troll bellows with rage and stops to clutch at the feathered shafts now protruding from his torso. Uriel flashes you an approving nod. Without delay, the two of you leap forward to attack the wounded beast. Fire leaps from the tip of Uriel's staff as the two of you rush forward and engage the legendary Beast of Shrine Isle. This is a cowering cave troll, and it's already wounded by those arrows I just fired. Begin combat. I could have equipped the troll bolt. I had an opportunity for the bolt and I didn't take it. Very silly. Silly me. Alright, just imagine it's being bolted, because it's more fun that way. The fearsome cave troll swipes you with its massive stone club. And it looks like there's no option to flee, so I can come back and bolt. Uriel levels her staff at the troll and unleashes a wide arc of crimson flame, and that does 55 damage. And then again for 56. She is good. She levels her staff at the troll again and unleashes another wide arc of crimson flame for 54 damage. A swarm of vicious broad-winged bats hurtles forth from your weapon and envelops your foe. That's just 10 damage, bud. See? Oh yeah, you're not the only person who has magic. And she attacks again for 55, and then 73. Then 53. I'm squeaking my staff as well. That just does the usual range. 50, 55 from her. A few tiny bats plink against. Plink, plink, plink. Against the Cowering Twave Toll and do 3 damage. Uriel, 64 from Uriel, from her special. And slain. Thank you, Uriel. 43 XP. Well, that's not all that much. With a final bellow, the mighty cave god troll that has for centuries stalked the shores of Shrine Isle collapses to the ground and expires. You and Uriel stare down in disbelief the bloodied carcass of the fearsome beast. 512 experience in general and 64 XP to all skills and powers. Pretty nice. Since it's on the way, Oyo, leaning heavily on her staff next to the carcass of the fallen troll, turns to face you and smirks. She wipes a large spot of the beast's dark blood from her face. You're about to commend her on a well-fought battle when you spot something that almost causes your heart to stop. One of the troll's massive, garled fingers is twitching. You shout a panic warning to the sorceress. Before your words can even reach her ear, yeah, she's knocked off her feet as the bloodied cave troll staggers to its feet and with its last ounce of life lurches towards you, swiping out with his deadly claws. As Oreo surges, struggles to regain her feet, but more importantly, still alive, you bravely engage the beast of Shrine Isle for a second time. Now, if you're given a second chance to bolt, oh, yeah, so obviously I'm going to take it. It's bonting time, bonting time, bonting time. It's time to bont, because it's bonting time, bonting time. Which means, of course, you can't equip a shield because a troll bont is a two-handed weapon, which I got for finishing Proving Grounds 4. Entirely other adventure, just scroll down or search and you'll find it. Just look for Proving Ground 4. Or of course, more preferably, play Swift. Then you get to play it without having to hear my ridiculous voice. The Towering Cave Troll is wounded, but not wounded enough. But we'll fix that soon enough. Grave Troll Bot has a 20 plus damage to this foe, which confirms it is a troll, both in name and in classification, mechanically speaking and all that. The severely wounded Cave Troll swipes at you with his deadly claws. Keep going. It's got a lot less health now, which you'd expect considering all the bashing and burning that's just happened to it. Bont! You execute a masterful downstroke with the troll bont. Come on, let's have another bont. Bont! You execute another masterful downstroke with the troll bont. Bont! For 8 damage. Come on, let's have a proper bont. Bont! Another masterful downstroke for 37 damage. Come on, let's finish it off with a bont. A 37 damage bont. Bonty bont, 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 bonty, 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 bont, 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 bont. It's very nearly finished. One more bont should finish it off. And I very much hope it ends on a bont. Ah, it is slain, and it wasn't slain with a bont. I'm slightly disappointed. 73 XP. the blood pour with blood pouring out of its gaping mouth, and much of its grey flesh in tatters, the beast of Shrine Isle, a cave troll whose might is perhaps beyond measure. Well, you just need a bigger scale then. Topples to the ground and draws a final ragged breath before expiring, rubbing the back of her head, which once struck a rock during her tumble. Oreo steps to your side and once again gazes down at the lifeless corpse, the slain troll. Without a word, she touches the beast's carcass with the tip of her staff, and its putrid flesh promptly ignites. In a matter of moments, the entire corpse is ablaze, and within a few minutes, only bone and ash remain to mark the spot when the creature of where the creature of legend fell. "There," she says, stepping back from the smouldering heap. "If he gets up from that, I give up." Exhausted from battle and from the tribulations of the last few days, you cast your wary gaze around the crumbling ruins and the perimeter of the summit, seeking any sign of Owl. "I can certainly understand his desire to have you share the road with him to Cardson," says Oreo, leaning against her staff as she surveys the ruins. "With the sort of trouble he seems to find, he wouldn't last but a few moments without someone like you to look after him." "Oh, I wouldn't, would I?" The familiar voice causes you both to turn to the east. There, stepping out of the encroaching forest that wings the summit, is Owl. The Master Thief strides up and commends you on completing the beast. You didn't seem to help with that, but maybe that was too... Maybe I shouldn't have expected that, but still. My other companions or adventures alongside, they would have done it. Oh yeah, would, obviously. Let's see. Who else have I ventured alongside? Let's see, there is Jirig in Proving Grounds 4.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
That the lady shadow mage in Proving Grounds 5, she'd have helped. Let's see, and Vark did help until I let him die. And I'm remembering that and feeling guilty. Oh, okay. Yeah, considering that, I pretty much earned you just leaving me there. "That's one for a tome of old tales," he says. "I would have preferred to have run, not risk my neck against such a creature. And in fact, that's precisely what I did. I wish the two of you had the sense to follow me." Oreo sneers and curses his cowardice. "Share the road, did you say?" continues Owl, referencing the sorceress's word from just a moment ago, gnawing her icy glare. "I don't plan on making use of any roads to get to Cardson, though I assume you would have thought such a feat above my meagre talents." Owl turns, and looks at the bloody carcass of the slain Chotwick in size. Now the real dilemma becomes how it is we are to get off this isle. Oyo reaches into her tunic and draws out a platinum and gold amulet that dangles from her neck by a thin chain. She clasps the glittering object in her right hand and closes her eyes. There may be just enough power left in this little trinket to gate us to safety, she says. Just enough? Cat casts her a sceptical look. There's certainly enough for two, she says, turning to face Owl. If I were filling your box, I'd be praying there's enough for three. All right, and that finishes this scenario with another 1,024 experience to general and 128 experience to all skills and powers. And that finishes part two. And that's all the stuff on Try Now, because presumably we'll be getting out straight away. And it moves us on to part three, which is called The City of the Sorcerer Lord. Welcome to the embattled streets of Cardassian. So, alright, a bit of an implied spoiler there. But we do actually get to Cardassian. Well, there's 7 parts to this, to 7 scenarios in part 3. And since we're only just over half an hour, let's do it. A rough spot is the next one. Begin. And the conclusion of the previous part, that's just a retread of what I've just said, because there may well be a gap between doing one section and the next, so you're just going to cover these in so you're back on track, but you've just heard it, so you don't need to do it. And now, decided Uriel attempt to teleport the three of you back to the cave in the forest south of Soundgar Keep, where you and Al may then make use of the portal to return to the mainland. Despite the near constant bickering between your two companions, related to at last be leaving Shrine Isle, nothing about your excursion to this isle sits well with you, particularly the news about Thane pouring death back on Sarngard. You continue to hope the death of your friend and ally will prove to be nothing more than an elaborate ruse. Despite your hopeful outlook, you can't help but feel the tide of things to come has been irreversibly altered. As Uriel marks a wide circle in the soft earth at the edge of the ruins and prepares her magic, your mind wanders back to one of the last meetings you had with Thane Porrand at the conclusion of your mission to Mergsbull, where you recovered the coded journal. Thane Porrand pours you some weak wine, but you strangely find yourself unwilling to accept his hospitable offer. You politely decline the drink, and he nods, seemingly unaffected by your approval. By your refusal, I literally said the exact opposite thing. Anyway, back on track. Be ever ready, friend, he says, as you prepare to depart, for I will surely be calling upon you in the coming days. Perhaps sooner than I expect, and again, I thank you. You bid the Thane farewell and step out of his chamber. He follows you out of the corridor and wishes you well, but his words have a hollow, unappealing ring to them. Twithick's overlord watches in silence as you move along the hall towards the stairs, far end of which will lead you down and out of the keep's main tower. As you step through the gates of Twinned Keep and onto the streets of the Adderstone, which is just now coming to life with the rising of the sun, you cast a wary glance over your shoulder at the stark silhouette of the tower you just left. There, high above the streets of Twithick, peering out across the sprawling wither port like a pair of unblinking eyes. The windows of the Thane's private chamber. A room you left only moments ago. Oyo's voice, repeatedly calling your name, snaps your thoughts back to the present. You turn to find the sorceress standing in the middle of the wide circle she's etched on the ground, now by her side. Come on then, Sir Crokington. You've only got one real chance at this. You hop into the circle and stand next to Owl. Ulio insists. You place your left hand on the shoulder of the Master Thief, and in turn turns Owl to place his left hand on her shoulder. I hop on Owl's shoulder then, yeah. Owl rolls his eyes and glares at you, as if silently voicing his lack of faith in these proceedings. If all goes well, we'll all be back in the forest south of the keeps, he says. If it doesn't, well, let's not think about that. Don't move your hands. Oyo Gas clasps the glittering platinum gold amulet in her white hand and closes her eyes. Almost immediately, a strange and powerful sensation takes hold of you. You struggle to keep your hand in place upon Owl's shoulder as your surroundings begin to shift and blur. Suddenly, everything goes black, and you find yourself tumbling head over heels through a silent tunnel of shadow. You strain your neck, attempting to look in all directions for any sign of Owl or Ernie, with companions are nowhere to be found in the shadowy tunnel through which you tumble. Suddenly, a fierce golden glow erupts out of the darkness below, and the instant you find yourself seated on a cold, damp, stone tile floor in the middle of a broad corridor. Breathless and bewildered, well, we're not supposed to be here. You warily regain your feet and survey your surroundings. The passage, littered at regular intervals by flickering lamps dangling from iron pegs, ends approximately 20 yards ahead at a wooden door. Several feet behind you, the corridor reaches a dead end. You resist the temptation to call out for either Uriel or Owl, and instead attempt to decide upon an immediate course of action. So there are four options here. Use divination or thievery to get a clue as to what to do. And then I can approach the door or remain where I am. That's my decision about what to actually do. Gonna once again go to random.org. Yeah, I'm picking between the first two first. I got two, so I'm gonna use thievery. Successfully use your thievery still. Your well practiced ear discerns what you believe to be a faint pulsing sound behind the door. Is that another portal? Is it the portal to where I want to go? Or is it a portal to bring a monster here? Or is it a portal to drop me right into the middle of a volcano? I don't know why they don't do that more often, but I guess it'd just be annoying to play. And approach the door or remain where I am. Alright, once again, random.org. One, apparently, it is time to approach the door. You cautiously approach the door at the end of the passage, your every sense alert for the first sign of danger. You're nearly close enough to reach out and touch the door's worn timbers, when a low pulsing sound from behind it sends your heart racing. The door's heavy iron hinges begin to creak slowly, to creak as it slowly opens. The door slowly swings open. They're taken aback when a large, inky, pulsing orb floats out of the gloom beyond and into the passage. The surface of the massive shadowy orb, which nearly spans the entire width of the corridor, ripples with every pulse. The orb's pulsing increases in frequency, and a strange hovering object begins to swell. You quickly step back, fearful the glowing spear will soon envelop you. Three options. Divination to figure out what's going on. Allow the expanding orb to envelop you, or retreat back along the corridor. I'm going to use divination, because maybe it'll give me some clues. It succeeded. You immediately sense the orb is dangerous and wields tremendous power. You also sense it is not attempting to intentionally cause you any harm, but that doesn't mean it won't necessarily do it by accident. You know, maybe it's just weird. It doesn't understand things. Allow it to envelop me. You remain perfectly still as the dark pulsing orb continues to expand. Just a few moments its shadowy form passes over you. So now I'm either dead or fine. As the orb of shadow continues to expand around you, you suddenly feel weak. Picking a number, bonus of 60, 20 from mind, 20 from body, 20 from spirit. Gotta get 75 or more, or something bad will happen. Pick now. 119, success. The sensation of weakness quickly diminishes, and in its wake you're left feeling disorientated. As the gloom that surrounds you deepens, your vision blurs, and a series of vivid, nightmarish images take form in your mind. With the glow that surrounds you continuing to darken, a deep, unsettling image takes form in your mind. A horribly wounded man, his legs pierced with arrows and his chained shirt hanging in tatters beneath his bloody torso, crawls across a stretch of broken ground, picking a path through the fallen, writhing bodies of his dead and dying companions. As he nears the unmoving remains of a young man, a chain-clad soldier, whose slender, unshaven face is frozen by death into a horrific expression of agony. A thick stream of blood rolls down his arm and along his sprayed white hand, passing over the thin wooden band that adorns his ring finger. Wait, thin wooden band? Is that the ring? Let me just check. Ring of Disguise. Is that a... it's wooden bin band. The wounded man pauses, then suddenly removes the wooden wing, slipping the bloody band onto the finger of the slain soldier. Who's got the... He has a wooden ring of disguise. Dane Pond, I guess? Is this him making it look like it's someone else? Like when he's fine, but he's look like he's dead, but he's actually just about survived? Guess we shall see. Or maybe we won't. With the gloom that surrounds you continuing to deepen, your pulse quickens as a second dark and unsettling image takes shape in your mind. Oyo, her face blackened and her staff splintered at her feet, cries out in agony as she's suddenly engulfed by a wall of flame. As she slumps to the ground, consumed by the raging fire, her face turns towards you and her eyes lock onto yours. "We are betrayed," she says, before rapidly crumbling into a pile of ash. That's bad. Is this a prophecy of a future that has come? Or might come? Or might come but things have changed? Or is this just my own worries? As the gloom that envelops your mind deepens, a third, dark and unsettling image takes shape in your mind. Three figures rush to escape from a broad, fire-filled tunnel. As a surging wave of fire overtakes them, One of the fingers stumbles and falls, and is immediately consumed by the raging inferno. One of the two remaining figures, Lurch, rushes on, cry out in agony, as the roaring wall of flame laps at his back. The other pauses for a moment, looking back at the fallen figure. As the gloom that envelops you, it deepens. The fourth, dark, unsettling image takes shape in your mind. Four figures, their faces obscured by shadow, are seated around a wooden table. For you can't make out what they're saying. Their voices rise and fall sharply, as if they're embroiled in a heated debate. Suddenly, one of the figures, a caped man, stands and holds up his white hand. The others stand and immediately fall silent. He begins to speak in a loud, clear voice. Without hesitation, the others echo him as he recites a curious and well-rehearsed verse. We stand as faithful wardens. The time draws near. Three times the skies will light. The horns of the great heralds will sound. We are to be ready. We are always to be prepared. Nothing will prevent the return. There is no power that can. After engaging each other in a series of brief shoulder crosses, the four figures turn and move away from the table. I have no idea what they're talking about, but it sure seems ominous. At last, as the last of the grim visions fade, the shadows that envelop you rapidly deepen into impenetrable darkness. Your thoughts become jumbled and you stagger forward, reaching out blindly in gloom in a desperate attempt to steady yourself and keep from losing your footing. Suddenly, a fierce golden glow erupts out of the darkness in front of you, scattering the gloom. Your hand shoots up and your face is to your face, as you instinctively shield your eyes from the dazzling light. After several moments, the glow fades and you lower your hand. Only to discover you're now standing in the thick of a tangled forest under a cloudy late afternoon sky. All right, that's more like where we should be. You turn your gaze to the north, and you immediately spot the dark mouth of a cave. The cave that contains the portal you used countless times to teleport yourself between Sarngard Isle and Twinned Keep. You're back on Sarngard, at nearly the precise spot where you first stepped onto the isle. The sound of someone crashing through the brush behind you turns your thoughts back to your companions, and you spin around, prepared to greet them. Only to find yourself confronted by the unwelcome sight of a now familiar foe. Wait, they know about this place? The bad guys? Whoever they are? Slithering swiftly through the forest, are three silver-armoured Tzol. Their whapping hisses echoing off the surrounding trees as they bear down upon you. The foremost, the vicious reptilian, suddenly thrusts his hand out towards you, and a long bolt of crimson flame erupts from a silver square set into the plated palm of his gauntlet. The deadly blast of fire streaks towards you. Got four options: fortification, elementalism, telekinesis at level 70 plus for all three, or attempt to dodge. So random draw 1-4. Number one. Fortification it is then. Succeeded. 24 experience to fortification. You call upon your power of fortification and breathe a sigh of relief as a shimmering barrier of golden sparkles appears in front of you. The hurtling bolt of flame slams into your shaman shield and explodes, showing the ground around you with thousands of glowing cinders. The first of the three armored Tzol, his silver-plated arms ablaze with crimson flames, hisses wildly as he slithers forward, striking out at you with his fat, fire-weaved limbs. It's an armored Tzol, just gonna bash that. Swipes at you with his plated, fire-weaved arms. I'm attacking the enemy somehow. Keep going, keep going, keep going, and slain. 42 XP. Before you can even attempt to catch your breath, the second of the three armored Tzars slithers in from your left, hissing viciously. His silver-plated arms ablaze with deadly flames. Alright, I'm going to equip the Spruce Smasher and the Glittering Ice Shield. And that brings my melee rating up to 402. Begin combat. Alright, keep fighting it. The Smasher wallops it. You're engulfed by the flames. You only need to attack for sun damage. I go into a battle rage. Hey! Get away from here! This is my secret spot! I don't want any enemies around here. It'd be very unnerving. Just slain. 74 XP. The third and last of the armor to Zol. Undeterred by the deaths of its vicious reptilian kin. I don't really think it has a choice in this matter. Slithers over the truck. The trunk of a fallen tree and launches its attack. Striking out at you with plated, flame-weaved hands. Fights the armor to Zol, begin combat. The armor to Zol swipes you with his plated, fire-weaved arms. Gulf by the flames, 13 damage. Going to a battle wage. I dislike you! I dislike you a lot! And flame attack again. For some damage, 106 XP. The instant... The third Tzar stomps the ground at your feet. The silver-armoured bodies of the slain reptilians are engulfed in a towering column of fire. A wave of intense heat, coupled with a deafening roar, catches you off guard. But you manage to stumble back beyond the groping fingers of the blazing inferno that swiftly engulfs the corpses of your foes. A matter of moments, only small piles of ash and the charred, empty shells of plate armour remain to mark the spots where the three Tzar fell. With no signs of your two companions in the surrounding forest, and nothing to indicate they ever arrived here, you quickly move away from the remains of the Tzar and make your way into the cave. The reassuring, low pulsing sound of the portal greets you as you enter the cave and move swiftly but cautiously towards it. At the back of the cave, you find the familiar black pulsing vortex that's time and again faithfully borne you to and from the perilous shores of Sarngard. I'm guessing because they haven't got a ring of disguise, guys, even though they know it's there, the Tzar can't go in there and, you know, just cause utter chaos and assassinate Thane Bolland, even though it turns out they don't have to, or maybe they do. You linger a few minutes before the portal, eager to listening intently to the sounds of the forest outside, eager to hear anything that would suggest your companions are nearby. When it becomes apparent you are alone, you quickly decide your best course of action is to return to Twinned Keep. Well, at least that's on the mainland. After taking one final look around at the gloomy interior of the cave, you step towards the churning, swirling portal. Just like that, then. The voice from behind you, barely above a whisper, startles you, causing your heart to skip a beat. You spin around to confront whoever was at your back. There was no one here. Here. The voice, this time to your right, is louder, clearer, and instantly recognisable. You turn to find yourself face to face with Al. The Master Thief regards you with a suspicious, unfriendly gaze. I nearly gave up on you, he says. Your friend, the sorceress, did me up. But to be fair, she did wait around here for the better part of 2 days. Confused, you ask the owl what he means. You never arrived here with us, he says, still regarding you with obvious suspicion. The caster said that you were lost. the attempt to teleport the three of us was too bold. We appeared right outside this cave, as you said we would, but you never did. You've been gone 5 long days, friend, and it's put us in a bit of a rough spot. And that ends this scenario, with 1,024 experience to general, and 64 experience to all skills and powers. And the next part, the next scenario is called The Path to Cardsan Part 1, and then there's a Path to Cardsan Part 2. And that will have to wait until the next episode. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.